This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah الذي خلق السماوات والأرض وجعل الظلمات والنور ثم الذين بربهم يشركون لا يحصي عدد نعمه العادون ولا يؤدي شكره المتحمدون ولا يبلغ مدى عظمته الواصفون بديع السماوات والأرض إذا قضى أمرا فإنما يقول له كن فيكون. أما بعد, dear brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has reminded us to be conscious of Him when He says in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Dear Muslims, we are all aware that Iman and the strength of our Iman changes from time to place. Sometimes our Iman is very strong, and at other times it becomes weak. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes this phenomenon multiple times in the Quran itself. For example, in the end of Surah Tawbah, Allah says, وَإِذَا مَا أُنزِلَتْ سُورَةً. Every time a surah comes down, one group of people, the believers, they are excited and they say, whose iman has gone up? Allah says, فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فَزَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَهُمْ يَسْتَبْشِرُونَ. The believers, their iman goes up every time a new surah comes down, and they are happy. وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ. And as for those whose hearts have a disease, these are not the believers, these are the hypocrites. فَزَادَتْهُمْ رِجِسًا إِلَىٰ رِجِسِهِمْ. The filthiness increases, the lack of iman increases, and they turn away and they have rejected Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if iman goes up and down, then it is imperative on every single one of us that we should be monitoring the strength of our own iman. We should see how strong our iman is throughout the year. Just like the blood pressure patient, he checks his blood pressure. The cholesterol patient checks his cholesterol. Anybody who has an issue they're struggling with, they check it. And all of us are struggling with iman. And the most important factor for all of our lives is to have strong iman. So how regularly do we check our iman? In fact, how does one check our iman? In today's brief khutbah, I want to remind myself and all of you of two factors we have to be careful of when it comes to assessing our iman, and three litmus tests that will help us verify the strength of our iman. As for the two factors we have to be careful of, as for the two factors that should not fool us, factor number one, just because we had strong iman, just because we tasted piety at one point in our lives, it does not mean that we shall remain pious throughout our lives. Just because we were close to Allah during Ramadan does not mean we are close to Allah right now. Just because we felt spiritually strong and powerful after Umrah and Hajj does not mean it will last throughout our entire lives. Iman fluctuates, and it is very possible that at one point in our lives we were very good, very righteous, very pious, and then shaitan came and seduced us. Shaitan came and misguided us. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us that people before us, their main problem was that lack of that reality, that notion of false confidence. They thought that just because they had iman once, they shall always have iman. And Allah says, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلُ. Don't be like those who were given the book before you. فَطَالَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَمَدُ. And as time went on, their hearts became hard. They had iman, they had the book, they had knowledge, but they thought, khalas, we are the chosen people. Allah has blessed us. Allah has gifted us. And time went on, and time caused their hearts to become hard. Therefore, the first factor we have to be careful of, just because we were righteous at one point in times, does not guarantee righteousness at later point in times. On the contrary, iman is an active verb. We must always nourish iman and be vigilant that our iman does not go down. The second factor we have to be careful of, the second factor that we have to be cognizant about, is that even if we have a spiritual blessing, and even if there is a barakah that Allah has given, it is possible that we don't appreciate that blessing. And it is possible that the very blessing that at one point in time caused our iman, At another point in time, it might actually become an impediment against strong iman. And the best example for this is the blessing, and it is a blessing of knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises knowledge and the people of knowledge. And Allah in fact actually says, you can never achieve the highest levels of iman and taqwa without knowledge. إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ It is only the alim who will truly fear Allah. So generally speaking, knowledge is a gift, knowledge is a blessing. But even this gift and blessing, even this barakah from Allah, it can be abused. Shaitan can come and switch out this blessing, and instead of becoming a blessing, the very thing that should have led you to Allah might actually take you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if you misuse it, if you don't have the right intentions. And we see this with regards to knowledge. Allah says in the Quran, إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ Verily, the religion in the eyes of Allah is Islam. And the only reason the people before you, they broke away, they didn't accept this religion, the Ahli Kitab, when the Quran came, when the Prophet ﷺ came, why didn't they accept? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they understood the ilm, but hasad and baghi came into their hearts. Jealousy and arrogance came into their heart. مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا أُوتُوا الْكِتَابِ After the book was given, after the ilm came, after the bayinat, after the huda, in so many verses Allah says, the people before you recognized the truth and they rejected it. They knew, but they didn't act upon that knowledge. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doubly criticizes them. They should have known better. They had the knowledge. I gave them the book. I gave them the huda. But what happened? Their hearts became hard. They became arrogant. They became jealous. Why was he given the book and not us? Why was the Prophet in another race and not our race? Allah ascribed knowledge to them. And yet Allah said, because of their knowledge did not benefit them. They became angry and jealous. They became arrogant. And this shows us a potential for good was wasted. A source of potential blessings was lost. Just because you have been blessed in one area does not mean that it will always be a blessed area. If you don't appreciate it, then the very blessing that Allah has given you can be flipped around and used against you. So these are the two warnings that I remind myself and all of you. Just because you are pious at one point in time does not mean piety lasts forever. And just because Allah blessed you with some blessing that was indeed a blessing of piety, whether it was memorizing some Quran, whether it was gaining some knowledge, it was a genuine blessing. Okay, it doesn't mean it's going to last forever if your attitude is not right. You have to have that humility and that ikhlas. So, what are three litmus tests that I want to remind myself and all of you about how we know the reality of our iman? What is the blood pressure? What is the pulse that we may test our iman with? Realize, one of the things that a lot of people think we can test our iman with is the punctuality of our rituals. And I say, this is not a strong test. Rather, it is a feeble test. No doubt, the one who doesn't pray, the one who doesn't fast, no doubt, that's a problem. But just because a person prays does not mean their iman is strong. Just because a person is doing the routine outwardly does not mean they have passed the test. They're obviously better than the one who doesn't pray. But don't be lulled into a false sense of confidence. Why? Because it is very easy for the righteous to fall into the routine, the monotony of worship, and the righteousness diminishes. The piety goes down. The rituals remain, but the piety goes down. And a person might feel, oh, I'm just as pious as when I began the rituals. But no. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually says in a verse that should shock all of us, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ Woe to those who are praying. Just because you pray doesn't mean you are all right. Those who are not praying properly, those who are praying in order to show off, the ritual is there, but the spirit has been lost. The outer punctuality is there. The outer form is there, but the inner soul is gone. So don't be deluded. This is a false litmus test that just because outwardly my routine is semi-Islamic, this means inwardly the piety is there. No, you want to check your piety. Let me give you three tests. And there are, of course, many other tests, but these are three of them. Number one, of the ways you really test your taqwa and iman, look at the quality of your worship when you are alone. Look at how much and how peacefully and how much humility you have when you worship Allah and there are no eyes on you. What is the level of your tilawah of the Quran? What is your level of salat and nawafil in your house? What is the level of tahajjud? What is the level of your secret charity that nobody knows about? Yes, it's good to have a public fundraiser and raise your hands. Yes, it's good to come to Raweeh every Ramadan, every day in Ramadan. Yes, it's good to come to Jumu'ah. These are all good signs, but these are not definitive. These are not the end all. These are feeble and potentially not definitive. People might have the public rituals, but if they have nothing in private, if you are only worshiping Allah when people's eyes are on you, that is a problem. That is a huge problem. Make sure when nobody is watching, you have a healthy dose of private rituals. Now, realize some people say, one of the Salaf actually said, one of the great scholars of the past said, that you know the highest level of Iman is that you worship Allah in secret as you worship Allah in public. That is correct. Nobody can deny that. But I want to be a little bit more practical. The aspect and the issue of sins, we all commit sins. Don't expect that simply because you're committing sins, this means you have no iman or a lack of iman. We all commit sins. And the righteous person will be embarrassed of his or her sins, and the righteous person will indeed commit sins in private. Nobody's denying this. Of course, to not commit any sins is best, and that's the highest level. But you may have a level of piety, and you are committing sins. That is the reality. Make sure you're repenting to Allah. Make sure you're making istighfar. That is the reality. So to commit sins is not good. But some people come and say, if I'm committing sins in private, I must do them in public as well. No. If you're going to commit a sin, have some haya of the people. Have some haya of Allah Azza wa Jal. Ask Allah for istighfar. No doubt about that. The real test is not sins or lack thereof. Because only the highest of the high will absolutely leave committing any type of such sins. The real test, when no eyes are on you, how much khushu' do you have in your salah? What is the quantity of your salah? What is the quality of your tilawah? How much charity are you giving that even your spouse does not know about? That is one symptom of iman, one filter test, one litmus test, how much faith that you have. A second litmus test that I remind myself and all of you, a second litmus test is how do you react in the face of a calamity and tragedy. Once again, it is very easy to lull yourself into a false sense of confidence. My iman is strong when the things are good, when life is good, when the money is there, when the health is there, when the family is there, when the job is there, when everything is fine. It's very easy to feel my iman is strong. What will happen at the first stroke of calamity? How does one react? How much sabr is manifested? How much iman in Allah Azza wa Jal? How much rida, contentment of Allah's qadr? What is the yaqeen? Where is the tawakkul? All of this will be manifested within the first few minutes of hearing about the tragedy. This is a litmus test of iman, brothers and sisters. How does one react at the very first stroke of a calamity? As soon as you find out a news that is devastating, does your heart turn to Allah? Do you take comfort in turning to Allah, making dua? Or is there an emptiness? Is there a sense of complete rejection? How can this be happening? And that's why Allah describes the believers who? الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. This is a sign of iman. When the musibah happens, yes, it's painful. Nobody's going to take that pain away. Having iman does not take the pain away. But having iman, when the tragedy happens, it links you to Allah immediately. This is of the ultimate litmus test of the strength of your iman. How do you react to tragedy? How much sabr you have? How much tawakkul? How much is your iman in Allah's qada and qadar? Your realization, Allah has willed this. I need to accept it at some level. There must be a wisdom even if I don't understand. That realization, it is a sign and proportional to your iman. That's your true litmus test there. And a third litmus test, and again, this is a short khutbah, many more can be given. The third litmus test of one's iman is how you treat other people. Not the people in the masjid, not your acquaintances, not your colleagues. No, how you treat the closest people in your lives that nobody else knows about, your family, your children, your wife, and how you treat those who make you angry. How do you react when your true colors are shown? When somebody enrages you and you want to do something, say something, act, can you control your akhlaq in that stage? You want to see your real iman? Then see how you treat vulnerable, your children, your wife. See how you treat those when your anger is boiling inside of you. If you really have strong iman, this is a test here, because iman controls akhlaq. Iman dictates your actions. Yes, you're going to feel angry. In fact, the Sahaba recognized when the Prophet ﷺ was angry. How did they recognize? From his face, not from his actions. They could see the anger in his face. They knew he was controlling the anger. So when somebody makes you angry, you're going to get angry. Again, iman is not going to take the anger away. Somebody says something nasty. Somebody does something they shouldn't do. And you have every right, maybe even in the Sharia, you might have the right to do back unto them the exact same thing. And that's allowed, but it's the lowest level of iman. The higher level of iman, you control that anger, and then you act in a wise manner, in a manner that is befitting, in a manner that is dignified. The mu'min is never vulgar. The mu'min is able to control anger. The mu'min's iman is shown through akhlaq. When your wife, when your children can testify, this is a man of character. When your own family knows you are a man of your word, that is a sign of iman. It is very easy to have two faces. Wallahi, it is so easy. In front of us, here in the masjid, you have Mr. Nice Guy. And as soon as you go back home and the door shuts, that is where your real iman is shown. So you want to see a litmus test of iman? That litmus test will be in your akhlaq. And not in the public akhlaq. Everybody can be polite in public. Everybody can show a little bit of kindness 5-10 minutes a day when you're interacting with broader society. What is your compassion and kindness? What is your akhlaq when you are in the privacy of your household with your lifelong partners and family? And what is your akhlaq when you have been provoked? When really, if you don't have iman, you will react in a way that is truly showing who you really are. Iman will come and control that. No, you're not really like that. You're better than this. Iman will show you who you really are at times of anger and at times of privacy. These are three symptoms, or these are three litmus tests of iman, brothers and sisters. Number one, what do you do in private? Our Prophet ﷺ prays the one who, when he's all alone, nobody's looking at him, his eyes cry out of fear of Allah. Those are one of the seven people to be shaded, is the one who is crying all alone. Privacy and the quality of your ibadah, the quality of your repentance when you're all alone. Number two, how you react during times of a calamity, during times of stress. And then number three, what is your akhlaq amongst your loved ones and also amongst the opposite, your enemies and those who provoke you? Look at your akhlaq on the closest and on the most despised of people, and you will see your iman. These are three simple litmus tests for all of us to monitor our iman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless me and you with and through the Quran. And may He make us of those who its verses they understand and applies halal and haram throughout our lifespan. I ask Allah's forgiveness. You as well ask Him, for He is the Ghafoor and the Rahman. Alhamdulillah. All praise is due to Allah, the One and the Unique. He it is whom we worship, and it is His aid that we seek. He is the Lord of the oppressed, and He answers the dua of the weak. As to what follows, one of the simplest ways to fortify our iman, one of the most essential ways to protect our iman, especially in this land and society, is to make an extra effort to be around people of iman. In this land where iman is scarce, in this land when Islam is a very strange religion, in this land where piety is hardly found, if you wish to preserve your iman, brothers and sisters, then hunt for piety. Find righteous people and befriend them, be around them, and be in the companionship of those who have that iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullaha wa kunu ma'as sadiqeen. O you who believe, have taqwa of Allah and associate with the people of righteousness. Associate with the people of truth. Wa kunu ma'as sadiqeen. It's not good enough to have taqwa. If you have taqwa all alone and you're all alone in a society and land, that taqwa is going to whittle away. That taqwa is going to be constantly attacked. To fortify your taqwa, be with the people of taqwa. Allah says in the Quran, Warka. Do ruku', not just alone, also with all the other people doing ruku'. Be in the companionship of people who are doing ruku'. Come to the masjid and bow down along with everybody else who's bowing down. Allah's telling you in the Quran, don't just do private, make your companionship with those who have piety and taqwa. And Allah says in the Quran, وَاصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ الْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِي. Be patient and persevere and be in the companionship of those who are constantly worshipping Allah morning and evening. Be patient in their companionship, i.e. sometimes things are going to be awkward with your friends. They might do something, they might say something. Overlook it. For the sake of Allah, for the sake of brotherhood, come together. And then Allah says to the Prophet ﷺ, وَلَا تَعْدُ عَيْنَاكَ عَنْهُمْ. Do not remove your gaze from the people of piety to the people of wealth and fame of this world. Do not change your eyesight. Do not be enticed by fame and fortune. People are richer than the righteous. Don't worry about that. People have more fame than the righteous. Don't worry about that. وَاصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّ الْغَدَاتِ وَعَشِي. Stay with those who want to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and I worship Him constantly, especially in this land, brothers and sisters. Make an effort. Come to the masjid as often as you can. Find people in your vicinity, in your locality, that can become family friends for you and your children that are people of iman and taqwa. Make sure that you associate with people who will make you better Muslims. We all know what our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that a person follows the religion of his friends. So be careful who your friends are. And this is of the ways to protect our iman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of the people of iman and taqwa. Allahumma inni da'in fa'amminu. Allahumma la tada'a fi hadha al-yawmi dhanban illa ghafarta, wala hamman illa farajta, wala daynan illa qadayta, wala maridan illa shafayta, wala asiran illa yassarta. Allahumma ghafir lana wa li ikhwanina alladhina sabaquna bil iman, wala taj'al fi qulubina ghillan lil ladhina amanu, rabbana innaka ra'ufur rahim. Allahumma a'izz al-islam wal muslimin. Allahumma a'izz al-islam wal muslimin. اللهم من أرادنا أو أراد الإسلام والمسلمين بالسوء فاشغله بنفسه واجعل تدميره في تدبيره يا قوي يا عزيز. عباد الله، إن الله تعالى أمركم بأمر بدأ به بنفسه وثنى بملائكة قدسه وثلث بكم أيها المؤمنون من جنه وإنسه، فقال عز من قائل عليما، إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صلِّ وسلم وبارك وأنعم على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. عباد الله، إن الله تعالى يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم واشكروه يزد لكم ولذكر الله تعالى أكبر. وأقم الصلاة.
فيا ذلي ويا خجلي إذا ما قال لي ربي أما استحييته تعصيني ولا تخشى من العتب وتخفي الذنب عن خلقي وتأبى في الهوى قربي فتب مما جنيت عسى تعود إلى رضا الرب.